fatiguing off the opus, kept it underground to focus. I feel afterlife, six under oath, don't want no hocus pocus. Trying to go pop, I draw contact with my face mask, nothing but net. Is you Roger or Novak?
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Down a Break Podcast. This is episode number 37. I'm here with I didn't prepare anything.
I need something from you though.
Next time I'll give you a double trouble nickname.
Okay. All right. What up, people? Good to be here.
I'm back from vacation. I'm back from Paris. I was in Paris for about 1 week. I don't know a single word of Paris, of French, but we made it through. Shout out to all the family and friends that I linked with. Big shout out to Daniel Murphy, actually. Great to see him out in a different country.
Good glug session?
Yeah, we had a couple. You know, we kept it light. Nothing crazy out there. Did you miss me while I was gone?
So much. It was very hard with the time difference.
That's true. Long distance relationships are even harder across the continents.
Right, but our love is stronger than anything in the world.
It can if you were on Antarctica, we'd still make it.
We would still talk every day.
Every day.
All right, let's get to it. We actually this is like an exciting time of tennis.
There's a lot of there's a bunch of tournaments. Some of them are kind of cool, some of them not that cool, but there's still all these little tidbits that are happening in between, whether they're 250s or 500s, that are definitely worth noting. And some of them make the rounds on Twitter and shit. So let's get to it.
Should we start with the women?
Ladies first.
I mean, I will preface this by saying that I don't know if it's the WTA's fault. I don't know whose fault it is, but it sounds like they're even more under the radar than usually. Like, the only reason I was even knowing what was happening is because I always have Tennis Channel on. But otherwise, I wouldn't know. You know, I don't feel like it was popping on my feed. I didn't see results.
I agree. Just for the record, I agree. I haven't really seen any significant scores or names or exciting
and
happening.
We love tennis. We love all things tennis. And if it's not coming to our attention, then who's following this?
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, so we had Dubai, which was 1,000. Actually, pretty good draw overall. Iga lost to Kalinskaya, who ended up losing the finals to Paolini. Kalinskaya also beat Coco, actually, in the quarters right before beating Iga. Paolini is so interesting.
Hold on. Paolini?
She kind of looks like a boy.
Okay, who is she? How have I never heard of her before?
She's been under the surface. Like, she's like an unknown Italian player.
She's the number 14 ranked woman in the world.
Now, after winning this 1,000.
Okay. She's been hovering around like top 30, top 40, top 50 for a couple of years now.
And those girls don't usually win 1,000s.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, she beat Haddad Maia first round, then she beat Fernandez, then she beat Sakkari.
She got a walkover over Rybakina.
And then Kalinskaya.
Just like a 1,000 with a final of no names.
It's just been the story of women's tennis this year.
Like, I'm not, I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
But anyway, then after that one, we had the Symbiotic San Diego Open, which is, I thought was a pretty weak draw overall. Like, just nobody really that great besides...
What about Katie Bolter? I do like Katie Bolter, the British girl.
What do you like about her? Tell me what you like about her, Daniel.
I think
she got a great game.
Has a great backhand.
She got a great smile.
Yeah, I'll give you the smile, but the backhand really does it for me.
Is she in cahoots with Demi Noor? Yeah, she's dating Demi Noor.
And she won the San Diego Open.
She did. I didn't realize she was dating Demi Noor.
Yeah, the boy demon can actually, you know, he's got some riz.
For the record, I think Demi Noor is... unhandsome. He's not handsome.
I agree. I mean, but
he looks
again,
like a rat.
He kind of has that rat-like face, but he's a pro athlete. So
anyway, so she won Symbiotica. Pegula losing in the semis. One thing that stuck out to me was the fact that if you make it to the semis of Symbiotica, you only get $50,000 in prize money.
And this is a WTA 500.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if you make it to Dubai, which is a 250 tournament for the men, prize money was the same for Dubai for the men and the women. But it's a 250 for the men, and it's only 80,000 for making it to the quarters, not even the semis. Quarters, like, over, well over 100.
So a smaller tournament and making it to a lesser round, you're still getting more on the men's side.
Yeah, which I think is crazy because, like, it sounds like the location could just kind of decide how much money they're giving out.
Yeah, that's how some of these smaller tournaments work. And I mean, you probably look at the stands at that tournament in San Diego, and it's probably empty.
Yeah, it's probably empty. And, like, I mean, even the players don't want to play it because they're not paying them.
50K for making a semi is...
off of 500? That's crazy.
That is crazy. That's messed up. I don't know the answer, though. How do you fix it?
I don't know. Have us play. We should maybe they should pay us to advertise that people would come in their thousands, millions.
If we advertise and we brought all the listeners to the tournament?
If they let us commentate, for example, and we filled the booth.
Yeah.
And everything was Donna Break merch.
We don't have any merch yet.
We would make it.
Yeah. We're actually looking for designers. If you know any graphic designers or, you know, college kids who are trying to make it in this world, that could be a good partnership for both sides. Speaking of symbiotic, if you know what I mean, it's a symbiotic relationship.
That's a good pun right there.
Thank you.
Let's move on to the men.
Let's move on to the men. Which tournament you want to start out with?
Let's start with Rotterdam. Holland.
This was the Australian Open champ's first tournament back, Mr. Yannick Sinner.
And he crushed it.
Yeah, he was kind of dominant from what I remember. This is a few weeks ago, but I don't think he lost a set. He lost one set to Monfils.
Yeah.
And then...
it wasn't an easy draw either. I mean, he beat Dima in the finals, but I mean, I guess he had Griekspoor, who has no business being in the...
Look, no. I'm all for Griekspoor, okay?
Also, I guess it was like in his hometown. Well, home country, at least.
Yeah. No, I think this is a tough draw. I mean, Van de Zandschulp is not a joke. Monfils, second round. He got to walk over Raonic, then Griekspoor, pour me another beer, and then De Minaur. Like, that's a pretty solid draw. Sinner's still in top form, and he's going into Indian Wells as one of the top three guys.
Then we had some clay court tournament over in Argentina. The boy Jari was beasting. I was actually on the plane watching him play against Alcaraz.
They were showing tennis on the plane?
Yeah, they had the TV, they had tennis channel.
What is this? What are you, luxury flying? What are you? What are you flying?
No, I fly economy, baby.
Okay.
I flew, which company was this? This must have been United.
Okay, and they had tennis channel.
It was like an old plane. There was no Wi-Fi. There wasn't of this, like, you couldn't order a movie or anything, and they had all the channels so you could watch like live TV.
Wow. So you caught Jerry versus Alcaraz.
Alcaraz, I watched the whole thing.
And what's the takeaway?
Takeaway is that I think Alcaraz is not playing his best. I didn't think he was, you know, hitting as big. I didn't think he was as confident. But Jari's just like nasty when he goes on a roll. Like, he can just absolutely rip. And the return is actually pretty good. Obviously, the serve, when he's serving at a high first serve percentage, it's just, I don't know what you can do. And he's had good results on all surfaces.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, he did lay an egg against Hanfman in Rio the next tournament. And then
he did.
Lost to Corentin Moutet, who's probably one of my least favorite players on tour.
Actually, funny thing, after that match, after Moutet
beat Jari
in Chile, the crowd was like booing him so hard, wasn't letting him get a word out.
Yeah.
Which, and he was actually trying really hard to like get them to like listen to him. And every time he tried to speak,
it didn't work.
He would boo.
Yeah, it didn't work. It was pretty disrespectful from the fans. But anyway, so that was a Jerry win. And then in Rio, like, this is one of those like 500s that to me wasn't a good draw. You had Sebastian Baez win over Navone, who is a qualifier.
Yeah, Rio should not be a 500. Rio should be like a 100.
I mean, after Alcaraz retired in that match, like, there were not really many big boys playing.
Besides Nori.
Yeah, besides Nori.
Who's been playing like shit recently.
He's been horrendous. it is worth noting the boy João Fonseca, 17-year-old, beat Arthur Fields and Christian Garin. And this guy has some severe firepower. He hits the ball at very high speeds. He's only 17. He was going to go to UVA and play college tennis. But after these results, he said, screw it. I'm going pro.
What would you do?
I would probably do 1 year of college tennis, just have a blast, and then go pro, like what Shelton did.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, yeah, I guess I would do. I would just, I don't know. It's such a hard choice.
It is hard, and it depends on your family situation, money, etc. Think about it. You know you're going to be able to go pro. You're going to.
No, you don't. I mean, you do a year of training at not the highest level. I mean, at the end of the day, they play like maybe 20 hours a week. If he goes pro, he can play like 8 hours a day.
I wish I had to make that decision.
I think I would go to college and see if I could. Because, like, what happens if he gets injured? Like, nobody, like, I don't know. Like, you know, remember Donaldson? He's in Penn now. Can't even play tennis. Apparently, he doesn't even have his tennis shoes there.
Jared Donaldson?
Yeah.
He's completely done with tennis.
I played with this guy who used to be on a Penn team. This guy Dima, and Dima is friends with Jared, and they've hit a few times, but every time Jared shows up with like running shoes.
it's a joke.
He doesn't care.
Okay, what else do we have?
We had Dubai. The boy Hugo Humbert went absolute beast mode, beating everybody, playing some of his best tennis, taking out Medvedev in the semis, then Bublik in the finals. Bublik had quite a match against Rublev the prior round, where
it was an epic match. It was actually an epic match.
It was an epic match. And even Bublik said, like, this was like one of the best matches that we've ever played against each other. It was 6-5 in the third set, and Rublev gets disqualified from the match because he was cussing in Russian at one of the linesmen who spoke Russian. And then the guy went and tattled to the umpire, and the umpire kicked him out.
It's worth noting that the Rublev side of the story is that he was speaking in English, and all he said was he didn't swear at all. But the linesman
didn't swear.
Correct. He said, I was speaking in English and I didn't swear. Whereas the linesman claimed that he was speaking in Russian and called him a fucking moron. And in the exchange, you can hear Rublev and the umpire, and Rublev says, I never said the F word. I never said it. I never said it. And he's distraught. He's like, it's a he said, she said thing. And the head umpire decided to listen to the linesman. And that was
Without being there, do you have any doubt that Rublev cussed in Russian?
I'm torn. I mean, I've tried to listen to the audio and I still can't figure it out. Have you seen the audio?
I couldn't hear it, but I have no doubt that he said it in Russian. I have no doubt.
I mean, Rublev is such a complicated, complex guy because off the court, he's a sweetheart. Everybody loves him. He's smiling. He's great. But on the court, he's so troubled. And it looks like he has like actual anger management.
I mean, for the record, though, regardless if he said anything in Russian or not, he did go up to the linesman after like that call was made and like screamed in his face.
Yeah.
The crowd was booing him. So like it's not really as gray as I think like Rublev was making it out to be.
You think it's more deserved than not deserved?
I think so.
Yeah, I get it. You can't really go up to the guy's face and scream at him. It's just so tough. It's 6-5 in the third set.
I know. And emotions run high. I get it. Otherwise, Acapulco was actually pretty cool.
It's always a great tournament.
And, you know, for a tournament that got absolutely devastated by a storm, and they didn't even know if they were going to have the tournament, they ended up actually having it. You know, I thought some highlights were Demi Noor beat Tsitsipas after being down 10-0 in head-to-head. After the match, he was like, nobody beats me 11 times in a row. It's kind of funny.
Classic. You see, Zverev lost first round too.
Yeah, Zverev lost to his countryman.
Yeah, Altmaier. They had kind of a icy handshake at the end, which is interesting between some countrymen. But I don't know what the deal was there, if they have beef or not, but I feel like Zverev always gets far, always plays well in this tournament.
Yeah, he's won it before, right?
Yeah, I think he's won it before.
I think it's crazy. Demi Noor is winning it twice in a row.
Demi Noor is a top 10 guy.
Do you think Demi Noor is more of a top 10 guy than Rude? Sheldon or Fritz? Who's more deserving?
I think Demi Noor. He's more consistent.
He's more consistent. I agree.
It's got to be.
I do think Demi Noor has a ceiling that's lower than Shelton, for example.
I see that.
But then again, I don't know. They would both get crushed by, say, somebody like Sinner.
Demi Noor is having a great year. He's only lost 4 matches. I put money on Rude to win over Demi Noor and lost.
Oh, first time. You were calling everything correctly all week.
And then I took an L there.
Novak, I think we can just judge if a tournament's important or not based on if Novak's going to play it.
It's the unfortunate truth. And he took a break after Australia. He hasn't been playing any tournaments. I saw him over at UCLA practicing. And I was just like, imagine being a student. First of all, you're at UCLA, which is probably one of the sickest schools ever. You're like you hear some chatter around campus that Novak is on campus and is warming up, having a practice session. I would skip all my classes. I would say, screw the homework. I would send an email to my professor and say, yo, I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to make class today. I won't be able to finish the paper. Novak's here. And I hate Novak, but if he's right there on campus, my hot girlfriend, I'll see you tomorrow.
My question is, why is he there?
Because he's getting ready for Indian Wells. Is it even that close?
So who's he hitting with? Like the number one guy at UCLA?
No, I think he just brought his own team there.
Daniel from the future back here. Correction. Novak did in fact play with the number one player from UCLA, which is probably his dreams come true. And I'm extremely jealous.
But why UCLA? He's just going to the beach after? Nobody do it better. Going back to Cali strictly for the weather, women and the weed, sticky green. Like, why is he like an Indian Wells, like, or something like a big venue where he can actually train without the paparazzi?
Maybe I think he was at the Laker game too, and maybe he wanted to spend some time in LA and just chill. No, but he was definitely spending some time, and I saw he was at the Lakers Nuggets game. He took some really weird photos wearing a horrendous outfit.
Like, oh, yeah, that fit was horrible.
So he was chilling in L.A., and then he'll go to Indian Wells. I hate him.
All right. Last thing to talk about is that Netflix slam, so to say.
Yeah, this is a weird one because on one hand, I want to give some props to Netflix because they're pushing tennis.
They are.
And we need that. You know, you got the you got the dumbass Breakpoint show, which people like. Okay, fine. And then they're doing this exclusive match between the newcomer, Carlos Alcaraz, and the old stallion, Rafa Nadal. It's cool in theory, but it also didn't really get much press, I didn't think.
I didn't think you got nearly enough press, no.
There was a supposed sellout crowd of almost 10,000 people. And the match itself was solid, which is surprising.
They tried hard. They played at a high level.
They played at a high level, which is surprising to me, especially because Carlos coming off of, as you said earlier, not some of the best tennis he's been playing. And also the ankle twist.
Right.
And then Rafa, who hasn't played tennis consistently in like 2 years.
Right. But Rafa still got it. I mean, he still got it.
He had that one nasty down the line forehand rip.
He had that like two no look volley winners.
He looked good. He doesn't look good physically. He looks like he's aged 20 years in the past 2 years.
I know. His skin just looks like.
Yeah, it's extremely wrinkly.
I don't get it. It's like, looks like he's been like smoking cigarettes.
It looks like I remember seeing all these memes on IG about like when the big three were winning everything. And it would like Photoshop them to looking old.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like now for Rafa. Now for Rafa.
I mean, like Roger still looks great.
Yeah. Roger looks much better.
And obviously Novak looks like he's 25.
Yeah. You saw that photo of the two of them on the same plane.
Yeah, one of them looks like he's young, and the other one looks like he's like he needs a cane.
Do you think that that was actually just a coincidence that Novak and Rafa were on the same exact plane?
Do you think they practiced together? I don't think so.
I mean, what are the chances? What are the chances?
Do you think they were like, yo, we should hit?
I don't think they really love each other. Like, I don't know if I don't think they're friends.
But like, do you think that they have a common interest to hit with each other to see how the other player is playing?
That's a good question. I think they probably, especially Rafa, probably wants to keep that to himself.
Yeah. But like, I feel like Rafa and Roger would hit.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember the two of them. No, like
Murray and Djokovic definitely would hit.
Like you saw, you remember seeing.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I remember seeing like Roger and Stan hitting and stuff like that.
These days, I feel like those guys are preferring to hit with the younger generation of people.
Let's talk about the Indian Wells. Like, are you excited about it?
I'm very excited about it. Are you kidding me? It's a beautiful tournament with beautiful people in a beautiful setting.
What do you think about the power rankings?
The power rankings, you know, you did a good job. I like the list a lot. I like that Novak is number one. I don't like it, but I like that you did that. I think it's the correct thing. I think that, you know, putting Nadal at number 10, I think he's obviously the wild card. He has a brutal draw. He's playing Milos Raonic first round, which it could go either
tough,
way.
Tough, yeah.
Tough. But then he's got Rune second round.
Yeah, but Rune's been playing horrible.
But he still has the quads. So, and then you've got Hugo Humbert. You're riding that train.
He deserves it. He deserves it right now. In the current form, I think he's a top 10.
You've got no Americans in there.
Yeah. Do you like that? Do you disagree? They don't deserve it.
We're in America.
I know. This is America.
You could think, oh, maybe because they're playing in Cali, you know, Fritz. Who would you even
put
there?
Who would you put? Fritz?
I'd only put Fritz there because he's won it before. I don't know. I expect
even Tommy Paul's in better form.
I expect Novak to win Indian Wells. Honestly, I if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would put some money on Novak to win this tournament. How many times do you think he's won Indian Wells?
I'm going to say three.
Novak Djokovic has won 5 times. It's unreal. But he hasn't won since 2016.
I mean, he didn't play for a couple years then.
People forget that Cam Norrie won this tournament.
All right, let's get some fan mail going. First question coming from Julia Newman in New York City.
What's up?
FMK, Novak, Medvedev, and Tsitsipas.
I'm going to murder Novak. I'm going to make sweet, sweet love to Daniil Medvedev. Actually, you know what? I'm switching that. I'm going to make sweet, sweet love to Tsitsipas. I feel like there could be something there. I'm not going to lie. And then I'm going to marry Daniil.
I think I would kill Tsitsipas.
Wow, crazy.
I would give Novak the best night of his life.
Okay.
And I would marry Medvedev.
Okay, I respect that answer a lot.
But you got to think about the other thing is like, by marrying them, you get a hitting partner for life.
Yep. Yeah. And you think Medvedev is going to be a good hitting partner?
I mean, I would rather hit with Novak.
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. Next question coming in from Polina Abramovich out of Boca Raton. Thanks for writing in. She says, who would you rather see Dune 2 with? Assuming you have not seen the first one. The options are Mirka Federer, Emma Raducanu, and Sydney Sweeney.
It's hard for me because I've seen Dune 1.
Okay.
But assuming that I have not seen it, I would have to go with Sydney Sweeney.
You're a big Sweeney fan. You saw it on SNL the other night?
No, but I know who she is.
Yeah, you're going to want to watch those clips.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I'm going to go with Mirka Federer because I think she is one of the most underrated, underloved people in all of tennis. Okay. Although I've never really heard her speak.
She doesn't. I don't know if she has a voice.
She's mute. I think she's great. And I think, you know, I haven't seen Dune 1. So.
All right. We got to get to this last one.
Okay. We'll get to the last one. Last one coming in from Sam Flaster, our favorite writer, out of Brooklyn, New York. Is the early days, the greatest sports comeback of all time is complete. You have recently gone pro in men's doubles together. You just made the quarters of a 1,000 tournament, and so you're gaining buzz. But you're still small time, unsponsored. You have only recently stopped working for Big Health and Old Boy Construction. It's time to make ends meet. One Saturday, after glugging down the single beer your coach Liana still allows you to drink on weekends, Gandalf the Grey appears behind you in the bar. He says, "I'm here on behalf of the North American Warlock Committee. We believe the game honors toughness. We're impressed with Daniel's greatest sports comeback of all time and Dean's underlying love for Chipotle. I will teach you the spell of tennis greatness. There are two ways to cast a spell. Option one, you must shave the sides of your head monthly, and you may not trim the back. So yes, it is a mullet, an infinite mullet. Option two, you can only wear female tennis outfits during practice and matches. Skirts are mandatory. No visors. Men's shoes are allowed. If you commit to these rules, you will get 8% better at tennis every month until you turn 38. Also, your muscles will grow indeterminately, but noticeably bigger. Which do you choose, the mullet or the skirt?"
What if I do both? Can I get 16% better?
I'm going to allow you to say that, yes.
Yeah, I would do both. Tennis over everything.
I'm not going to do both because these are both brutal, but I'm going with the mullet for sure.
I think I would rather actually wear a skirt than a mullet.
A skirt would be so embarrassing, dude.
But only on the court. Like, off the court, you don't have a mullet. You can wear whatever you want.
But I think, like, if you...
Why can't I wear a visor is my question. Wearing a skirt, I might as well wear a visor.
Just go all in. I don't think I could rock a mullet, but I could maybe own it and, like, try to turn into a J.J. Wolf type guy, type shit.
You gotta remember, like, if you're playing a guy wearing a skirt...
Agassi had a mullet.
Yeah, and then what happened to him?
And then he married, what's her name?
Steffi Graf.
Yeah, she's a goat.
I was going to say, like, if you're playing a match against a dude wearing a skirt and they're crushing you, it's psychological warfare.
It is. Yeah, you're one step ahead here.
I'm in for the skirt. I'm in for the skirt, Sam.
I'm going to buy you a skirt for your birthday.
I'll wear it.
Okay.
All right, people, it's been real. Thanks for tuning in.
It's been real, yeah. Guys, tune in to Indian Wells. It starts on Wednesday, which is probably when this podcast will drop. So it's perfect timing.
Peace.
Peace. Like futons, my crew save your crew like niggas came through with the coupons, cooking with the grease now. Chocolate fries at Cholula, or you slowing down, or you're holding down, whoever held you down, whoever propped you up, built the structures with you, switched the buckets with you, who was fucking with you, really brothers with you.